Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about this?
I feel like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken
care of. It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
Shop Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
It is the Garden Hotline on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX. I'm Scott Jagow, and today's guest is an expert in trees, Mark Gruber. Mark, thanks for being here.
You bet. My pleasure.
So tell me a little bit about your background.
So I've been at this about 38 years. I'm a graduate of Mizzou's forestry program a long time ago. I won't talk about how long. Then did about 6 years working for the city of St. Louis at their forestry division. Left there and did some private consulting work with a company. Also worked for a nonprofit organization, a very cool one by the name of Forest Relief of Missouri, that gives out trees for planting on public property. And then because they don't have too good of a retirement program, most nonprofits anyway, I decided to make the hard decision, go to work for the Department of Conservation. I've been there 24 and a half years.
So here's my main question. Can you see the forest for the trees?
Yes, absolutely, I can. And that's actually funny that you say that. So I'm a forester by trade, and there is a difference between a forester and an arborist. The arborist tends to be more single tree focused, where a forester looks at bigger picture. So I'm more of a land manager by schooling, but throughout the years I've done a lot of diagnosis on trees and things like that.
So what got you into trees? I mean, what is it about a tree that makes you very excited?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm not sure I can answer that very well. Honestly, it was probably a combination of things. My mom, I remember her distinctly teaching me how to identify a couple of different trees, specifically sassafras and sycamore, when I was pretty young and we were taking hikes. And then my family liked to camp a lot. So we camped, we backpacked, and I have just love the outdoors throughout my whole life. So fishing, all that kind of good stuff. I love it. So I don't know. I find them very interesting and intriguing. And I nerd out on trees to the point where it drives most people crazy.
Well, hopefully we won't get to that point today.
Well, we will.
All right. The number to call for your questions specifically today, we're going to focus on trees, 314-436-7900. There is an 800 number. You must dial the one. It is 1-800-925-1120. Again, the local number is 314-436-7900. Questions for Mark about trees today. We'll get into lots of different topics about trees, but let's begin with the phone calls. And Carol, you are on the Garden Hotline.
Hi there. I want to ask two questions. One of them is about a tree. Hopefully that's okay.
Yeah, that's good.
So I got a weeping willow out here that I planted probably a few months ago, and it's probably 12 foot tall, and about four and a half foot up it, where it starts to blouse out with limbs. It's folding over one way. And I'm wondering, because I'm holding it up where it starts to blouse out with limbs, I've got it pulled to one direction to keep it, because the wind tends to blow it over in our yard.
Sure.
So I'm pulling it one way to keep it growing that way. But can I take that where it's, can I take that up higher to pull it up straighter, up higher? Can I move that up?
So you're looking to stake the tree, if I understand correctly?
Yeah, that's, it's staked right now.
Okay.
Up to where the limbs start to branch out.
Ah, okay.
Which is about 4 foot up.
Sure, I see. Yeah, so the big thing with staking is that you want to leave it on as short of a period as you possibly can. Because the tree actually puts on wood strength based on the loading that comes in with the wind blowing and things like that. So the longer you leave it on, it'd be similar if you know, walked with a crutch for a long period of time, but you really didn't need it. So you're really kind of weakening the tree over the long period. But yeah, if it needs a little help for right now, go ahead and stake it up where it's going to be more upright like you prefer, but don't tie it too tight. You want parts of that tree to be able to move in the wind.
Oh, yeah, it moves.
Okay, and then check it after 6 months. Okay. And if you can take it off, take it off.
I'm using a piece of a foam noodle.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. To keep from cutting into the tree.
Yep. Yep, absolutely. Anything that's going to, like you say, keep a wire or rope or anything like that from digging into the bark is important. So, yeah, okay. That should work just fine.
What do you know about my clematis that's all brown and woody?
Well, what else is it doing? We'll see if we can.
It's got two pretty flowers on it right now, but it's all brown and woody at the bottom, and it's green and pretty at the top.
Okay. Yeah, that's depending on which one you have, that's kind of a typical habit. I mean, they are woody vines, so they will be woody at the base. A lot of times, if you're missing foliage in certain parts of a tree, shrub, or vine like that, it might have something to do with the sunlight exposure. Not being able to see it, it's a little difficult for me to tell for sure, but they will start to shade out, and some plants... also, as they, are you doing any fertilizing of that plant at all?
Sometimes I throw it a little Miracle-Gro or some coffee or something. I don't do too much for it.
Okay. You might want to drop back on that a little bit, because that can also force a plant to be leggy. So nitrogen is the component of fertilizer. It tends to push top growth. So if it's getting excess nitrogen, then plants can get a little leggy like that as well. So you might just drop back on that. The other thing is you can always call the closest university extension office. There's one down at the botanical garden as well. Uh-huh. And you can get a soil test done. So it'll tell you whether or not you actually need to put any fertilizer down.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Sure. You're welcome.
All right. Thanks for calling in. We appreciate the call this morning. Let's go next to Eric. You're on the Garden Hotline.
Yes, I'm also a tree nerd, and I'd like to suggest a couple of maples to put on our recommended tree list. They're called the snake bark maples. Are you familiar with those?
I am.
Oh, my God. You have to explain to the people the beauty of these trees, and they're perfect garden lawn specimens, and they're perfect understory trees. Please recommend them. Thank you.
You're welcome. No offense, but I'm going to hold back a little bit on the maple recommendation, and here's why. If you look around, there's a lot of maples planted all throughout St. Louis City and county. To the point where we're actually getting overpopulated with maples. I agree with you, though. I do like a snake bark maple. They're very attractive. If you're looking for a smaller understory tree, it's not the worst selection you can go with. The problem is there's this insect called Asian longhorn beetle that it's a matter of time before it gets here. I hate to say it. And one of their preferred food sources is maple. And we have planted so much maple in and around, especially commercial landscapes right now, that it's getting troubling. So if you're familiar with ash and emerald ash borer, we lost a lot of ash trees. It's kind of the same type of deal. Again, it's not here yet, but it's probably not a long time before it gets here. So Diversity is the key. So if you can find some other species that'll work for you and have an attractive bark like that, serviceberry is a good one. It's got not quite as prominent of a stripy bark, but it's a nice native understory tree. It's going to flower white for you in the springtime.
All right. Good tip. Mark Gruber is our guest today. He is one of two community foresters that cover the St. Louis region for the Missouri Department of Conservation. So for this program, we're specifically focusing on trees. And if you have a question about a tree in your...
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken care of. It took forever. And the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
Shop Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Yard or trees in general, please call in. It is 314-436-7900, and we will continue with your phone calls in a moment on KMOX. All right. It's always good to hear The Cure, The Forest. And the reason we're playing that song is because we have a forester on the program. His name is Mark Gruber. He is one of two community foresters in the St. Louis area for the Missouri Department of Conservation. We'll be getting back to your phone calls in just a minute about trees, 314-436-7900. But Mark, I want to ask you, what exactly is a community forester and what do you do?
I wish I had a dollar for every time I was asked that question. I'd be a very rich guy, including by my own family members that don't really understand what I do. Mostly what I do is actually in the title. I work with communities. We help them with technical advice. We also have cost share or grant opportunities to help cities manage their trees that we call part of the community forest. So typically we're talking about trees between a sidewalk and a curb, so rights of way and parks and boulevards and things like that. So those usually fall under each city's a little different, but usually fall under the jurisdiction of the city to manage, and we just help them out with those things. But I also get to do a lot of fun stuff like helping folks manage areas of forest. I do prescribed burning, which is one of my favorite things in the whole wide world to do. So,
well, we have amazing trees in this city because we have amazing parks. Mm-hmm. So like Tower Grove Park, the trees there are incredible.
Absolutely.
What are some of your favorite trees in St. Louis?
Yeah. So I'm a big white oak fan. That's my tree that I probably favor the most, but not too far away from what used to be the Tower T Golf Course, there's a private cemetery, and I can't mention it because it is private ground. But there's a tulip tree there that is the biggest one of its kind here in the state of Missouri.
Wow.
And it's gorgeous. It's massive. It's I want to say it's 115 or 120 feet tall. And one of the things about tulip trees, oftentimes when they get big and old like that, is oftentimes they get storm damage in high winds. And this doesn't have any storm damage in it at all. And the low limbs sweep way down towards the ground. So it's only about 3 feet off of the ground. So it's just a fantastic tree.
A tulip tree.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
What is that exactly?
So it has a couple of common names. Sometimes it's called yellow poplar or tulip poplar. It's actually a magnolia. It's one of our native magnolias, but you don't recognize the flowers. They look very much like a magnolia flower, except they're green and yellow. Might have a little orange tinge with it, and typically they bloom in the upper part of the tree, so about the top third of the canopy. So people miss them. They don't even recognize that the tree's blooming a lot of times, but it actually gets its name from the shape of the leaf, which looks like a tulip.
Okay.
So that's where it gets its name from. But just really, really nice trees. They're native more down to the southern part of the state than right around St. Louis, but it gets planted a lot.
All right. That's fun. I want to check out that tree.
Absolutely. It's awesome.
All right. Mark Gruber is our guest, taking your questions at 314-436-7900. He's a forester. We're talking about trees. Steve, you're up next on the Garden Hotline.
Hey, guys. Thank you for this. I have two sugar maples that have grown wild on my property, and I'm looking to replant them, reforest them or something. Mm-hmm. What exactly do I need to do in this process?
Sure. How big would you say the trees are? Just like how tall? Just estimate.
I would say right now maybe 5 foot.
Okay. All right. So it's the difficult part of moving a tree is making sure that you disturb as few of the roots as possible. So what you'll want to do is wait until the leaves drop off the tree. So, you know, we're probably talking about into November, and then you're going to try to dig a root ball around that, the base of that tree. If you know what I'm talking about, you probably want to go out about a foot or so from the trunk. With a good sharpshooter type of shovel and just stab it straight in. So you're essentially cutting off some of the roots. And then the idea is that you're going to come back with more of a spade and then dig outside of that area where you've just made that trench, so to speak, and cut in and then cut underneath that root ball. So again, you'll want to go about a foot or so down, maybe a little bit deeper with that. And cut that off. So you should be left with an area of soil, you know, roughly about 2 feet completely across and about a foot down. That's going to be kind of heavy. So just understand that. And you want to make sure that soil doesn't break apart. Because if that soil breaks apart, then what it does is it tears those fine roots off of the tree, which are responsible for absorbing water and nutrients. And that's going to be hard on it. Doesn't mean it's going to die, but you'll probably see it be set back pretty severely.
Okay. Now, after all that, do I put any kind of nutrients or anything on it?
No. So the big thing with fertilizer is that most fertilizers have a nitrogen component to it, and that's going to promote top growth. You don't want top growth right now. You want root growth, right? Because you're going to be damaging some of the roots as you move it. There's just no way around it. So really, unless you think that area where you're going to be moving it to has got some real nutrient problems. And again, you can get a soil test done by University Extension, cost you, I think, $20. And that'll tell you whether or not you need any nutrients, but you don't really want to go with any nitrogen at all. The idea is you want to put that tree in a good spot where it's, you know, it's going to like the soil and moisture conditions that it's in. So we call it right tree, right place. So make sure that you're just moving it to a good site. And as long as you move it correctly, you know, sometime this fall, you'll probably have good luck.
Okay, and one other thing, Mark.
Sure.
I forgot. So you're saying like mid-November? That was my question.
Yeah. Just make sure the leaves are off. The whole idea is those leaves are going to be losing moisture, right? And so coming up here in the next few weeks, depending on, you know, how cool it gets, we might see some cool enough temperatures that start the leaves dropping off the tree. Once it's completely devoid of leaves, then you're good to go. And you can dig it, yeah, really as long as the ground isn't frozen. But you probably want to get it done by the end of December, dug and moved.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Mark. Sure. I really appreciate this.
You're welcome.
All right.
All right. Good stuff. We're taking calls from Mark Gruber. He's a community forester talking about trees. Ken, you're up next on the Garden Hotline.
Good morning. I have property in southern Illinois on the edge of the Shawnee Forest, and I'm trying to repopulate some land, obviously not good soil, where the previous landowner cleared. I've been trying to use your favorite white oaks They get about a foot, 2 foot tall. They get these brown spots on the leaves and they die.
Mm-hmm.
Any ideas?
Could be a couple of different things. So are you sure the trees are dead completely? Because one of the things that young oaks really like to do, believe it or not, is exactly what you're describing. So those seedlings will sprout leaves, come up out of the ground, and then they'll just start to drop their leaves. Sometimes they get browsed off by deer and things like that. But so oaks are a very fire-adapted species, and all that means is pre-European settlement, they were used to fires burning the tops of them off. And so what they will try to do is build up a root system. And so you may find that a lot of those trees that you thought were dead will actually resprout from the root system and take off and grow. The brown spots could be a lot of different things. Jumping oak gall is an insect that causes a lot of tiny grayish to brown spots all over the top of the leaves. Usually the leaves don't drop off with that until pretty late in the season. So it really doesn't have much effect on the health of the tree.
Okay.
But if you're actually losing the trees, then you want to look hard at how you're planting. Because seedlings, you got a baby. They're baby trees, so treat them like a baby. Get them in the ground as soon as you get them. Make sure you're planting at the right level, because oaks won't tolerate if they're planted too deeply. And what you should look for is kind of a little color change right where the trunk turns into root. And sometimes there'll be a little change of direction. Sounds like, you know, okay. Yeah, then just go ahead and make sure you're putting them in at the right spot, and you should have pretty good luck. But I'll bet a lot of those trees are going to resprout for you.
From the base of the existing trunk?
Correct.
Stick or whatever you want to call it, yeah.
Yeah, because what they're doing is they're just trying to get that root system built up to a point where they can tolerate that, you know, you think about how long the tree's been around. They've been browsed down and burnt over with fires. So they're well adapted to that. So they will tend to wait until they get a whole lot of energy built up in that root system, and then all of a sudden they'll just take off and start growing, assuming you've got adequate sunlight for them to grow up, because they do like lots of sun.
And if I wanted to throw some hickories in with the mix for the reforestation,
sure.
Any guidelines there?
No, pretty much the same thing. They're gonna mostly react the same way, although they should be a little bit more forgiving for you. But yeah, shagbark, mockernut, hickories will be a couple that I'd suggest planting where you're at.
Shagbarks are already going in. So.
Fantastic.
Okay. Yep. Okay.
All right.
Good luck.
Thanks for the call, Ken. We appreciate it. 314-436-7900. That's how you get in to ask your question of community forester Mark Gruber with the Missouri Department of Conservation. We're going to be taking more calls about trees and forests as we continue on the Garden Hotline, so stay tuned.
All right. We're getting into Rush now because we're talking trees. Trees with Mark Gruber, the community forester, one of two for the St. Louis region with the Missouri Department of Conservation. So if you've got your tree questions ready, we are ready to take them at 314-436-7900. We've got quite a few people lined up. Let's start with Chris. You are on the Garden Hotline.
Hey, good morning, guys. Boy, this is a perfect topic for me. I'm glad that you're here today.
Sure.
I have three different trees I want to talk about. The tulip poplar or whatever it's called. I love that. I have one of those, and I'm not quite sure how high it is, but now that he said there's a record height over there and wherever it is, I'm going to check mine just to see how tall I am. But
sure. But
it's a beautiful tree. I agree. It is just huge. It is awesome. I bought a second one and put it down to shade something, and it's perfect. The second one I wanted to ask about, I have like six or seven maples around my house, and they're all neat. I deadwooded the ones in the front or had a guy do that, and haven't had the back ones, but there's a lot of deadwood in them. They're really getting thinned out. They're probably, I'm guessing at least over 50 foot tall.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm trying to figure out is What's the possibility, or where are they at in lifespan, and should I just start thinking about, well, the time's going to come, I'll take them down and replace them with something else because they shade my house.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of where I'm at on that one. And just real quick, so I don't forget to bring it up, Bradford pears is the other one I want to ask about. Just
oof.
I know they are very much disliked, and I have actually a whole field full of them because mm-hmm. I didn't keep it brush hog. But I've also got some that serve as really good shade trees,
mm-hmm.
and I'd like to leave the shade tree ones and clear the pasture. So yeah, the things I need help with is the maples and the Bradford pears.
Okay. Yeah. Let's talk about the maples first. So the deadwood that you're seeing, is it in what you would call like the outer extremities? So like the very top or the outer part of the canopy, or is it more up interior in the canopy where you're seeing the deadwood?
Oh, I've got entire branches that are dead all the way down to the core.
All righty. Yeah, it sounds like you've got some issues going on with them, and they might be declining a little bit. You know, what's causing that without seeing the tree is going to be super difficult for me to figure out. But, you know, do you know what species of maple it is? Are we talking silver maple or sugars or red maple? Do you happen to know?
Does the whirly bird tell you anything? Probably not.
Yes, it actually does. So the bigger whirly birds or helicopters are typically silver maples. Yeah, and that would make more sense. So silver maples are very fast growing. So they don't have the longevity. Most fast growing species don't have great longevity because their mode of survival, if you want to think about it that way, is to grow up really quickly, put out all kinds of seed, and then either fall down or die. They just don't live very long. So without seeing the trees, my guidance would be, if you've got any that are close to structures, you know, or places where people hang out and things like that, then you definitely want to think about the risk involved with the limb dropping out of the tree or something like that. So if it's a significant amount of deadwood and you get it pruned out and then it just keeps coming back and coming back and coming back, then you probably want to think about replacing that and moving to something that's going to have a little bit more longevity to it.
Okay, so you're saying that the fact that one of the deadwoods dropped on my pickup truck and dented the bed, and the other one dropped on my power line and took it out. Might be clues.
Yeah, I would say those are a bit of a wake-up call for you. So, yeah, and if you're not sure, you can contact an International Society of Arboriculture Certified Arborist. You can find them on their website. They have a public website. It's real easy. It's just treesaregood.com. And you can click on that, and then it'll bring up all the certified arborists I think it's 50-mile radius from you, and you can have one come out and take a look at the trees. Some of them are consulting arborists, meaning that's all they do. They don't actually do pruning or removal work. They would just say, hey, this one's in bad shape. This one's okay. I would recommend that you prune this one. I would recommend that you this one's fine. So that's a pretty good service that's out there. And again, just look for your favorite consultant and they'll be able to help you out. As far as the pear trees are concerned, cut them down. That's the short answer.
The simple answer.
They're an invasive species, so we would really love it if you removed them all.
All right, Chris, we appreciate your call this morning. Thanks. Let's go next to Wendy. Wendy, you are on the Garden Hotline.
Hi, we have what's called a hackberry tree.
Mm-hmm.
It's disgusting. It's dropping leaves with these little seed things on it.
Mm-hmm.
And is it dying?
No. So that's actually another gall that I talked about. So that's an insect. And the female lays her eggs in the expanding leaf tissue early in the spring. And when she lays her eggs, she actually injects what's essentially a growth hormone that causes the tree to form that structure around the eggs. It's got an odd name. It's called nipple gall. But it really doesn't cause a lot of damage to the tree. It looks unsightly, and hackberries are famous for it.
Okay.
But hackberries, they have very interesting bark, and they're pretty good trees, except for the gall issue. You can rake up the leaves and get rid of them. That'll help. It's not going to get rid of the issue, but it may help lessen it for you.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Good question, Wendy. Up next, we have Lenny. Your question for Mark Gruber, community forester.
Hey, good morning. Keep playing that Rush.
Yeah.
I got some river birches. I think they're 7, 8, and 9 years old, and it's time to limb them up.
Mm-hmm.
And generally, you know, I look online, look for answers, and the answers online are all over the place.
Yes.
As far as what time of the year to do it. So that probably means it doesn't matter, but I just wanted to check.
It actually does matter. Yeah. And it's unfortunate. That's one of the things is there's a whole lot of really poor information out there about trees and tree care. You can go to our website, mdc.mo.gov, and there's all kinds of tree care information out there, including information on pruning. But the dead of winter is your best time because then fungi, which are what's responsible for invading those pruning wounds and causing decay, they're dormant during that season. So you're really best to do it December, January, February timeframe. You know, if you get a nicer day when it's into the 40s or 50s and you want to get outside and do a little work, that's a good, real good time to do it.
Okay. And then I got pines and spruces all over my property, and we put out pots for like impatiens and stuff in the summer and leave them out there. And then we have little starts of pines grow up, you know,
mm-hmm.
So I could start my own forest. The question is how long do you let them grow into pots before you can let them out of their own? And then the other is they all look the same except for one. How do you know how to tell the difference between a young, Austrian pine between that and a white pine, because it would depend on where I want to plant it in the landscape, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So white pine, so pines have needles that are bundled together at the base. An Austrian pine is what we call a 2 and 3 needle pine. So the pines will come in, those needles will come in bundles of 2 or 3. You can find both. White pines have bundles of 5. So if you see 5 needles all bundled together, it's an Eastern white pine. If you see 2 or 3, then it's an Austrian pine.
Cool.
And don't wait too long. You don't want to leave them in that pot too long. You want to get them, as long as you can protect them, you want to get them in the ground, get them moved as soon as you can. And again, coming up in the next month or so, once the leaves drop off the deciduous trees, you're good to move those.
I mean, even the little guys, I mean...
As long as you can protect them, yes, because all that's going to happen is you're going to get a more of a root system developing in that pot, and they'll be more difficult for you to get out of there without causing damage.
All right. Thank you, sir. Sure. It's nice not having to hear about moles and crabgrass.
I appreciate that. All right. That's funny, Lenny. All right. So we got a list of people here waiting to ask questions about trees.
Fantastic.
It's a good topic. Mark Gruber, community forester, is here to take your questions, and we will get right back to them after a short break. Yeah, we're running down a dream on the Garden Hotline with Mark Gruber. Is there a reason we play that song, Mark?
My wife is a huge Tom Petty fan, so yeah,
I am too.
It was required. Awesome.
I did not realize that, but yep. I do love Tom Petty. Rest in peace.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Gruber is a community forester who works for the Missouri Department of Conservation, so he knows a lot about trees. The number is 314-436-7900. Up next, let's go to Marie. Good morning.
Yes, good morning. About 30 years ago, I planted a Japanese maple. This is not the type that's the really tiny leaf umbrella shape, mm-hmm. but a more traditional type of leaf and shape, but a small tree. It has red leaves in the spring, red leaves in the fall. It's green the rest of the time. And about 3 years ago, after it leafed out in the spring and the leaves had turned green a couple of months in, selected branches, simply the leaves turned bright red. Ultimately, the leaves dried up and the limb died.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that this limb died pretty well back to the base of the tree, would be my impression of it.
Okay.
So we've kept that dead wood you know, appropriately trimmed off, but it continues to happen. We're now into the third year. What is wrong with the tree, and how could we save it?
Yeah, could be a number of different things. Let me ask you this. Do you use any lawn care products at all?
Half of the tree is in a berm, in a bed, and has been the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
The other half probably does have some roots that go out into the lawn, and we just use a winter guard, Scott's Winter Guard, in the fall, and that's it.
Okay. The reason why I mention that is because Japanese maples are very temperamental when it comes to any kind of herbicide. So if there's any kind of weed killer product in that weed and feed or the winter care product that you're putting down, you want to keep it well away from that tree. And one of the common myths that's out there is that tree roots stop at the drip line or at the edge of the canopy. Actually, they go far beyond that, 2 to 3 times the tree's height sometimes. So as long as there's no obstruction. So it's possible. Again, I can't see your location of your tree, so it's hard to say, but it's possible that you've got tree roots well out into the yard. And if they're picking some of that material up, that is an unfortunate likelihood. The other thing is that Japanese maples also can be somewhat temperamental with a few canker diseases and some root decline diseases. Those are both fungal in nature. It's really difficult for me to tell if that would be the case without, you know, obviously seeing the tree. But good care, and I wish I could give you some sort of magic pill, but there isn't one out there. But good care, meaning proper watering. Don't let it dry out. You know, we had a very droughty year, so make sure you're watering well and keep it mulched, which it sounds like it is. And those are really the two best things that you can do for your tree and get that dead wood out of there. You're probably going to want to have a certified arborist come out and take a look at that tree for you, give you some more exact diagnosis.
Okay, that's helpful. We don't use any kind of a weed killer in the fertilizer. It is just a straight nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium of a thing. And water and mulch, I think we're doing what we've always done for 30 years, and it would never be drying out. My second related question then, and we also have a forest pansy redbud in a whole other part of the yard that's around 15, 18 years old. It's declining, I think, just from age.
Mm-hmm.
Trees of that size, if we have them cut down, is it necessary to grind and remove the root ball, or is it such a small trunk in relation to other types of bigger shade trees that we should not worry about that? It'll, you know, get it off as close to the ground as possible, and time will just take its course and destroy that.
Yeah, it honestly, that's up to you. If you're planning to put something right back in the same place, then yeah, you probably want to go ahead and have them grind it out, which won't take very long at all. But as long as you're not planning on putting a tree in right back exactly on that same spot, redbuds actually decay away pretty quickly. So I don't think you're going to have to worry about that stump for very long.
All right. Thank you for the call, Marie. We will take one more call before we have to take another break. Tony, you're on the Garden Hotline.
And let's hear it for Tom Petty.
Yep.
Hey, I have two questions, if I could. One is, I have some property in Pacific, Missouri, and it has 4 acres, and it has a lot of mature trees, everything from pine to cedar to walnut. And what I'm curious, I'm wanting to put a home site on it, but I'm wondering if you have anybody that could recommend some sparse cutting that would be beneficial to the land.
So that's a good question.
Sure.
We only have 30 seconds to answer it.
Real quick. Yeah, absolutely. Call a consulting arborist. That is certified by the International Society of Arboriculture. So treesaregood.com. Go to that search for an arborist and find one that's a consultant. They can come out and help you with the build site. It's a very common issue that they assist with.
Treesaregood.com. I love it.
Yep.
Mark Gruber is a community forester here in St. Louis, answering your calls as we continue on KMOX.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about this?
I feel
bathroom?
Like what I had to say yes, room? Just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
it
taken care
forever,
of.
It took forever. And the worst part? Hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
Shop Blinds.com for up to 50% off site-wide and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.